Welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host for Raji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. It's snowing. That's all it is. It's cold and it's snowing. That's what it is, folks. It's Friday. But the big thing is, it is Friday. Hey, Dre, it's Friday.
Hello, Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me.
Yeah.
When my life came crumbling down.
Woo!
I know you're gonna leave me.
Yeah.
Hello, Friday.
Oh.
I've been waiting for you for a long time.
Oh.
Dang.
Oh.
See, it's Friday night and I just got laid.
Oh.
I done had a hard week.
Come
now
on.
It's time to celebrate.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yo, can you give a round of applause to that right there? What? Hello, Friday. I'm going to be singing that on Sunday. Hello, son. Uh-oh. Yes. That's right. We do it for the culture here. What? Hell of a start for a show. We about to get into some serious conversation.
Snowing,
and it was snow.
Right.
It
that's
is cold.
Right. That's right.
Look at Dre. They got us singing. It's Friday. Hello, Friday. All right, folks. It's Friday. So we thank you so much for checking in tonight. We're going to have a great, great conversation in the building. We have the great opportunity, the honor, the privilege to work with Baltimore's, one of Baltimore's, I would say, most vocal activists. But she's really a visionary. She's a change agent for the city and all across the country, doing fantastic work as she continues to hold the torch of stopping the violence in our great city. Of course, it's not her by herself. We got to mention that. It's the whole ceasefire crew. Sister Erica Bridgeford is in the building.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah!
And the crowd goes, wow!
It's already started. Like, she, yeah.
There we go. 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 I guess it's all
right. This is our Friday vibe right now, Sister Erica.
This is nice. It's a party. It's a party.
Uh-huh. It's a party.
It's a real party.
So first and foremost, thank you so much for being on the program. I know that things are rocking and rolling with you, but it is officially Ceasefire Weekend in Baltimore.
It absolutely is. It is the Baltimore Ceasefire Weekend. Yes.
Yeah. It's happening. Are you excited?
Right, I'm always very excited about the weekend because the amount of joy that just gets spread like all over the city.
Yeah.
It's just like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, folks, trust me, the Ceasefire is doing a very, very serious work. But when you talk to Erica Bridgeford, Daryl Wharton, Ellen G, and all of those who are part of the team, that dynamic team, you know, it's about the spirit in which you do the work.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be because we're facing murder. We were just talking about that as a squad like less than an hour ago because we woke, all of us were up very early this morning feeling pains in our chest and anxiety and things like that.
Yeah.
And then somebody got killed this morning. And this is the second time that has happened to us.
So now you're, I mean, and all jokes aside,
it's not a game.
You really are tuned into,
yes,
into the universal,
yes,
spirit.
Because we have said we will open ourselves up to this kind of spiritual warfare. We are now a safe space for the spiritual realm,
yeah,
to communicate with and through. And so we have to take that seriously, that responsibility seriously. And so we have to keep our energy up. We have to have our minds conditioned. We have to have positivity. Our joy and our determination has to be just as gangster, if not more, than the spirit of violence.
Wow. Wow. And I think people, we kind of lose sight in all of these large conversations, Eric. I think we kind of lose sight of the spiritual component.
That's right.
Of stopping the violence, right?
That's right.
Because we're also talking about not just using the gun or using a knife or using a weapon, but we're talking about that spiritual warfare of having that negative energy that creates the environment where somebody loses their life.
That's right. And so we didn't know, but the ancestors knew, the spirit realm knew that we were going to have to meet this guy's loved ones today, right? And they didn't know what was going to happen, but we had to have our spirits ready to have phone conversations with his brother who's on his way from, a lot of his family doesn't even live in Baltimore. So they got the news and now they're traveling from another state to get here. And so to hear a friendly voice on the phone in Baltimore saying, we love y'all, we got y'all, we going to bless the space right now.
Yeah.
And they saying to us, thank you so much. We there with y'all in spirit. Go ahead and handle that. Get your mind right. Right, like that's something that a family needs at a time like that, whether it's from strangers or people they know. And so we take that responsibility very seriously to be a safe space for families, and we're trusted, right?
Yeah.
And so we know his name right now, but I haven't seen it released publicly, so we're not saying his name yet until we know that it's safe to say his name out loud to the public. And so just all of those kind of things in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm, you have to be just very mindful of and take seriously. And so, yeah, I'm always excited about the weekend.
Right.
Even though I don't know if somebody's going to lose their life, I know that there are hundreds of people around this city who've been doing the work to hope that it doesn't happen. And not just during Ceasefire Weekend. Baltimore is a place where people are doing work 365 days of the year to save this city.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are trying to keep this thing from happening. So when it happens, we feel it because we tried so hard to save this man's life.
Folks, if you're just tuning in to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM, we are talking to Sister Erica Bridgeford from Ceasefire. Of course, this weekend is Ceasefire Weekend. We're trying to do all we can to stop the violence to ensure that we don't continue in that vicious, vicious cycle. I'm going to give you an opportunity to check in, share your thoughts. Also, we're broadcasting live on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Post your thoughts, your comments, your questions. But I want you to, you know, pose your questions to Sister Erica, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, because I think it's important. Even in a snowy Friday, we have this conversation. I know some of you are really do have that, you know, weekend vibe going on. The fact is, I know Sister Erica got it too. She got it. But the fact is that we don't want to ever lose sight of the importance and the value of saving lives, and those who have lost loved ones to violence, that we want to always keep them in our hearts and our spirit. Man, this is a very spiritual time. One thing that I've learned, Sister Erica, and I was just having this conversation about, you know, when the beauty of sometimes when it snows and it kind of slows people down, mm-hmm. it will force us to get into a space of reflection.
Yeah.
And to think a little bit deeper about ourselves, deeper about our circumstances, deeper about the networks that we are part of, deeper about the causes and the work that we do.
Yeah.
What does this time, especially you're talking about doing, you know, ceasefire work in the winter versus doing it in the warmer months when traditionally, you know, homicide rates are a little bit higher. Does that play a role into it?
It doesn't, because my brother was killed on January 22nd. Right, one of the coldest days of the year that year. And so, we've done sacred space rituals, bless and murder spaces, where it's so cold outside that, you know, like there's blood congealed like a gel on the concrete that they couldn't clean up because that's how cold it was outside.
Wow.
The spirit of violence does not take a break when it's 17 degrees outside.
Wow.
Right. And so we can't take a break when it's 17 degrees outside either. And so while, you know, not having as much sunlight can feel, it can depress your spirit some,
yeah.
you know, we have to know that we are something bigger than what's happening right now. We have to know that there is a day that already exists in time in Baltimore where people won't be able to believe that there's this much murder, that when somebody gets killed, it'll be a shock and everybody will show up because we'll be like, no, we don't do that. Like, what? Somebody got killed? That day exists in my lifetime already. Mm. I know that it does. And so this is what it looks like to get to that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, traditionally, I've talked to you, I've talked to Sister Ellen G and others. Traditionally, the weekend is full of a lot of different activities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case?
Yep, there are activities happening all weekend. There was saging at Matthew Henson Elementary School this morning.
Over in West Baltimore.
Yep.
With Doc Cheatham over there.
Yeah, Mama Margaret was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be youth poetry things happening this weekend. Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle is doing a happy hour this evening. What else is happening?
The discussion around the themes and
we want to make sure we bring you into the conversation.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I was like, there's some random woman off on the side. That's like my Jiminy Cricket.
Please introduce yourself, dear sister.
Michelle Shell is one of the co-organizers of Baltimore Ceasefire.
That's what I'm talking about. And so, and you were talking about some of the activities.
We're having a youth discussion at the Pratt Library on
the
Walbrook branch. They're talking about themes that were in the book Dear Martin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, too, we're going to be doing two events. So the closing event will be at the Motor House. It is the Arts Everyday 10x10 exhibit.
Yeah.
Hundreds of art from students all over the city inspired by the ceasefire movement.
Mm.
Beautiful exhibit. And then earlier in the day on Sunday, we are having a meeting for anybody who wants to lead sacred space rituals.
Yeah.
So that is not just based on our calendar, so that when people get killed all over the city, other people can put it on their schedule to go and bless the space. So anybody who's interested in doing that work can come to the 3333 Greenmount on Sunday from 2 to 4.
That's fantastic. Now, Sister Erica and Michelle, talk to me about, how we can get into a much better space in terms of at least acknowledging all of the victims, because there are ongoing conversations about, well, you know, some murders are reported, others aren't. We don't know exactly how many. I mean, of course, the police have their count. Is there any particular measurement tool or any way that, you know, ceasefire is looking to be a part of ensuring that no one is lost in the shuffle of names and numbers?
Doesn't the community do a really, really good job of reporting to Murder, Inc.?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I do, I mean, and I guess you would have to take it personally. If you wanted to know the exact number of who actually got killed in a year, you have to take it personally, because the way it gets reported from the police department is based in FBI's policies, right? And so it means that there will be people who got killed years ago but it just got deemed a homicide this year, and so it gets added to this year's count. Right. So there are numbers. So actually in 2018, there were less than 300 actual murders in Baltimore in 2018. Mm. But because of the way they have to count, there were people added who were killed before, but their cases just got named homicides that year. And so they get added to that year's count.
So we actually have.
So you got to watch it yourself every day and right. count yourself.
Yeah.
To know who actually got killed today and who didn't. And so Baltimore goes sometimes 5-6 day stretches without murder, but that's not news unless you take it personally and you're paying attention to, oh my goodness. So for instance, nobody got killed between from January 28th until today. So right now we were in day 5 of nobody getting killed before someone got killed this
right.
morning.
Right. So how do we humanize this conversation? How do we take it out of the space of, you know, watching numbers right. and politicizing it? How do we bring the humanity back into this discussion?
So one of our hashtags for the Baltimore ceasefire, Baltimore Peace Challenge, is don't be numb. So we have to stop just counting off, you know, and looking at people. This person has a family, mother, father, a name even, you know, instead of, oh, victim number, whatever. They have a name. And we intentionally call people by their names when we're referring to them, when we're talking about murder. Because when you start just looking at people as numbers, that dehumanizes them very, yeah, very quickly.
Absolutely.
And being numb is a defense mechanism. We try to shut down because we're dealing with so much murder, and this is not a natural thing.
Sure.
So we go into defense mode and we get numb, but we just have to consciously not do that. We have to take steps to not just let it be the next person and the next person and the next person. We have to think of these people as humans with lives and feelings and relatives. So, I mean, we just have to make a conscious effort to not be numb.
And one thing I want to say too is that's one reason why we go to all of the murder spots, because what it does is it gives you an opportunity to meet neighbors who knew that person, and so they tell you stories about who the person was. Family members, loved ones show up at the sacred space rituals because they're like, y'all didn't know my person. Y'all coming to bless this space and honor their life. So they now trust you to tell you who they were and what actually happened. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but unless you build that kind of community intentionally, people will just stay numbers. So everybody says, why didn't somebody show up every time somebody got killed? We do show up every time somebody gets killed.
Right.
You just got to get involved in that way your own self, or else they will just be numbers to you.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Michelle and Sister Erica Bridgeford from Ceasefire 365. And we're talking about, of course, stopping the violence in the great city of Baltimore. We want you to be a part of this conversation. Hit us up at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, talking about how we bring the humanity back into the conversation about violence and murder. It is not just about numbers. It certainly is not just a political point or something on an agenda. But we're talking about real lives, folks, real people who have lost their lives to violence. Now, the other part about this, sisters, that I'm seeing, and I think that we kind of skirt around the issue, but not going full steam ahead into it, is that, you know, you do have some murders that were, you know, some retaliation murders and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the quality of the person, right? The character of that person that was killed, right? Because, I mean, some people would say, hey, so-and-so, he was doing this boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So what is the ceasefire's approach when you're talking about how some of these murders are happening, but some of these murders could be of individuals who weren't the best community members?
So you can't look at an individual for things that they've done. You don't know what that person is capable of. No one has the right to just cut off someone's potential. And if you cut off someone's potential, you don't know what that person could have done in the future.
Hmm.
So people have done things, gone to jail, and have rehabilitated other people and in themselves.
Sure.
So you just can't cut
murderers.
That short. Yes. Murderers have been able to.
Some of our greatest activists in Baltimore who are saving Baltimore right now were in jail for murder.
First.
And then came home, and now they're helping to save this city.
Right.
So we don't know what somebody is going to become.
So does that mean that we still give them the same level of you know, paying homage and respect as those who necessarily weren't involved, who could have been just an innocent bystander?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So we don't ask, well, what has this person done? And you know, did you like them or not, right? Because what we find is somebody loved them.
Yes.
Right. They went and picked up their little cousin from school every day, and they might have been doing dirt at night, but somebody is crying their eyes out over them, and their life will never be. The air feels different to somebody because that person is not breathing anymore. And that's, so we're paying attention to each person's light. We know we all have darkness, and we're gonna be real about it. We all have darkness.
Oh, yes, we do.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is going, this person has now left their body. We're going to honor the light that they were, because we need that light to still fight for us over here on the other side.
Right.
So what we're calling to us is that person's darkness, and what we're highlighting is, oh, they was this and that. That means we're calling and highlighting their darkness. We're not honoring who God made them to be. And we need that energy fighting for us on this side.
And we even need to pour light into the person that took their lives.
Boom.
Because taking a person's life is not something that's easy to do. Not like waking up and pouring a bowl of cereal and be like, oh, I think I'm going to be a killer today.
Right.
No.
Right.
It takes a lot to take a life. So they need light poured into them too. So they may become something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the interesting part. And that's the interesting dynamic of this. It's because one is not black and white. There are many different shades in between, right?
There's levels.
And there are
so many levels.
There are levels, dynamics, and all of these other
and dimensions in
and
real
dimensions,
life.
Right?
Dimensions.
Because these are human beings.
Yep.
So I love the way you put this, Erica, the fact that you have this light and this darkness, but that you settled on highlighting and emphasizing the light.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on the darkness.
Right. And it's not to excuse the darkness. We
right.
understand it. And, you know, people are held accountable for all. There's no more accountability you can take than your life being gone.
Sure.
Right. And so it's not excusing away who they were. But unless all of our hands are clean in this society, we have to take some ownership in how that person got created to
sure.
be whoever it was we think they shouldn't have been.
Absolutely.
And none of our hands are clean. So it's hypocritical to say what somebody deserved when we have not fixed this world enough that people even have a chance to be their full greatness.
Mm. Folks, we're talking about Ceasefire 365. It is Ceasefire Weekend in Baltimore. We're going to continue the conversation with our wonderful sisters from Ceasefire. And we wanted to have you to join us. Hit us up right now at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I got to take my first break for the evening. When we come back, more about Ceasefire, more about stopping the violence in Baltimore, and more about emphasizing that light and not settling on that dark place. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us for the second 30 of tonight's show. We're having a great conversation. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I feel like I'm in this spiritual space with these sisters right now. We're talking about Shell. We're talking about Sister Erica. We're talking about Ceasefire 365. It is officially Ceasefire Weekend, another weekend where we're asking folks to put down the guns, to stop the violence, and for us to get into a much better space here in the great city of Baltimore. And as we talked a little bit about it, I mean, Sister Erica, your point and Shell's point about, you know, not focusing, quote unquote, on the darkness. And to focus on the light of the individual, that at the end of the day, every human being has the right to grow, the right to live and to express themselves. And unfortunately, in these violent situations, it's cut short. It's really cut short. But that doesn't mean that we don't respect the human being for trying to find their way.
That's right.
And I think that is, the best way I can think of that is a very Christian, like Muslim way of looking at it, right? You know what I mean? Like you're not trying to cast judgment on somebody, even though the crime can be very heinous, the crime can be very hurtful,
right?
The crime is a crime of a violation, but at the end of the day, it's like you still try to focus on the good part of the individual.
Yeah, we have to. And there's enough of the darkness already here, right? So there's no limit of people pointing out the person's faults and what was wrong with them and what they should have done. And so we don't, that's not the energy that actually feeds us and propels us forward.
Right.
Right. The energy that propels us forward is when people transition, that we now are having a new relationship with them on the other side. So if I'm going to be having conversations with you and asking you for guidance, I need to be honoring who you are in your ascension. And who you were created to be in the beginning and who you're finding your way to be in your ascension. And so if we even bring that to people while they're still in their bodies, we would treat each other very differently, right? If we always remember, so that namaste thing, right? If we always remember there is a divine light inside of you, even if you have amnesia and don't even know that it exists, I still need to be a mirror of that. And if I'm not, then I'm only nurturing the darkness in you.
And let's talk a little bit about how to get young people to see that divine light. How do you know? What is some of the things that you guys are doing? The last time you were on the show, and I talked to Sister Ellen G about it as well. That you know, ceasefires in certain schools. That there are certain initiatives that you guys are working on. You're getting really excited.
I get excited about the kids, man.
So how do we get young people to see their own light and see the light within themselves?
I don't know if adults are going to like this answer, but it's not that we have to get youth to see their own light. They born with it and they find rocking in it. We got to stop snuffing it out of them.
Mm. So we need to encourage them that they can shine that light.
That's right.
Because a lot of times adults will snuff it out, and then it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And
so adults will snuff it out, what do you mean?
You ain't nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. You know, they don't encourage them in their thing.
A child is too loud. You need to be quiet. Right? They're too, you too much because they got a flare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it sounds like.
But we are constantly asking kids to go sit down somewhere.
Right.
And they need to be their full, beautiful selves. And because that's inconvenient for us as adults,
we give them medication.
We medicate them. Right. We shame them.
Yes.
You know, we medicate them, we shame them, and we pass on our negative narratives to them.
Passing on our negative something. The moment you said that, it made me think about there's a scripture in the Bible where it says that the sins of the fathers will be passed on to the children.
And the reason that it's a will be is because we do it, right? So we have a decision to make. My mom apologized to me recently, and my mother is one of the best people ever to walk the earth in real life.
Shout out to Jerry.
Okay.
Right, okay. And recently I was upset. They was some kind of accolade or something that was coming my way. Mm-hmm. And I was struggling with accepting it. And my mother pulled me aside and apologized to me with tears streaming down her face and said, the reason that you are not able to accept due praise is because we put into you this thing about, okay, well, don't think too much of yourself. So even when you're doing amazing and you should go, yes, that's right, I did it. And other people are even saying it, you don't know how to stand in your full glory because people always told me, right, she was saying, people always told me you too loud. If I put on a cute dress and I knew I was cute that day, they would say, oh, you not that cute, go sit down somewhere. And so she said there's a difference between you can know that you're not better than other people and still stand in your full glory. And I have not taught you how to do that. And so that's why you are upset right now about people showing you the due appreciation.
So you got to talk about walking the earth with balance and humility.
That's
while
right.
At the same time.
Standing in my full glory.
Standing in your. Man, y'all gonna. I thought it was Friday, not Sunday.
Come on.
I thought it was Friday. Come on, man. Y'all about to take me to church, yeah. Man. It's 5:40 on a Friday evening.
Yeah.
I hear that. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. We're talking about Ceasefire 365. We're talking about Ceasefire Weekend that's happening this weekend. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And we want you to join us for this conversation. Folks are checking in on my Facebook page. Angie checked in and said, exactly, talking about the children may be initially resistant, but don't give up on them.
That's right.
That's right. Don't give up on them. I want to switch gears because there's also a political component to this. This is a highly politicized event. Why y'all laughing?
We're making all the faces. Go ahead, though.
If you knew, if y'all checked my Facebook, it's a highly politicized situation, right?
Yeah.
We are in the city of Baltimore.
Yeah. We're in a political structure called America. So go ahead.
Right. This is highly politicized. Okay, so given that it's highly politicized, how do we keep the integrity, the authenticity of this work intact, given that it is a highly politicized issue? We're in a highly politicized system. How do you keep that authenticity? How do you keep this that piece intact?
This movement belongs to the residents of Baltimore City, and making sure that the residents of Baltimore City can own it is one of the ways that we can keep the integrity of this movement.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't belong to the politicians, it doesn't belong to the police department. They're a part of it.
Yeah.
But it belongs to everybody here. It's everyone. So we move in a certain way on purpose.
Yeah.
We don't attach to any particular organization or any type of thing to give the impression that it doesn't belong to the city of Baltimore.
Right.
So I think that's a way that we can keep the integrity.
Yeah.
We stay honest because we got people checking us on
all
a regular
day,
basis.
All day. And I don't let we are very careful not to let anybody put a narrative in our mouth.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
So some of my favorite times being interviewed are live. Because they're trying hard to put a narrative in my mouth. And so I have to say live, you can keep asking me that however many times you want. I'm going to still say what I'm saying.
Right.
And so the political thing is always a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, this violence is because of the uprising. This violence is because of the community police.
So even 4 years later, you're still being challenged. As founders of this thing, mm-hmm. of this movement, you're still being challenged based upon what happened 4 years
That's
ago.
That's exactly right. That it must be. And so, but that means that people can now not have responsibility for systems of violent oppression that have been created way before there was an uprising.
Yeah.
So we know the uprising was a symptom, right, of something that was already happening.
Right.
And so whatever the narrative is, our facts are that this level of violence is a public health issue. It is an epidemic. And the minute you start blaming an epidemic on one thing, you're going to be setting yourself up for failure. Because when you heal that one thing, then what are you going to do when violence still keeps happening?
Right.
And so in order, if you know anything about really trying to heal a system, you have to be able to attack it from all different places and points, or else you're not going to really fix it. And that's what we're dealing with. And so we can't just say it's just the police department, it's just the youth. If it's just the youth, what, the youth are going home to broken parents. We got to fix adults as well. Right.
And these youth haven't always been here either. Exactly. The violence has been around for before long that. Before these youth were around.
Way before that.
I like that. I like the show because, you know, you'd be like, oh, here's a 60-year-old. Be like, bro, you know, there was violence 20 years ago.
Right. We do it about
before
the music,
he was
too.
A glimmer in his parents' eye.
Right. Right. Oh, the music is nasty. I pull up some old music and be like,
no, that was
y'all
nasty.
Was nasty. Right. Y'all was nasty.
You're Dina Howard listeners. No, that's super real. All right, let's go to our callers. We got Mary from Baltimore checking in. Mary, thank you so much for checking in, talking to the wonderful sisters of Ceasefire 365. What's your comment?
Hi, it's Marty.
Oh, Marty, I'm sorry.
That's okay. My fault. Read the thing.
My fault. I am so sorry. Hey, can y'all stop laughing at me now? Thank you.
It's him.
That's okay. I'm just listening. I'm just getting off of work, and you guys are just so awesome. The sister talked about, you know, the relationship with the mother crying, and we need more of that. We need more of the mother and daughter communication, the father and the son communication. Because when you're brought up with negativity, that's all you know.
Right.
And I just want to commend you, sisters, and how does one get in touch with you guys, get to be affiliated with you?
Come on. You're bringing joy into somebody's heart right now, Marty.
BaltimoreCeasefire.com. Just hit the contact and say you want to be on the listserv, and we'll put you on the listserv. The beautiful thing is this is a self-determination movement. So it is up to you what you want to do and how you want to be involved in anything you want to do to help address root causes of violence or present dangers of violence or the aftermath of violence. You can get involved however you want. So we'll just keep you posted on the email listserv, and then you come to meetings, you plan events, you put up posters, you change your profile picture. So the least you can do right now is, if you're on social media listening to this, I'm judging all of y'all that's watching this, and your profile picture is still your face. We don't need to see your face right now. Can we have some unified imagery? And everybody just have the Ceasefire logo right now, because what conversation would that start on social media that everybody has this bright green Ceasefire thing? Because we believe that Baltimore lives matter.
Absolutely. Marty, you have any other questions or comments for these sisters?
I'm just proud of you guys. I just want to say keep the work up.
Yeah.
And like you say, it felt like a Sunday, and it's a Friday.
Ow.
You know?
Church.
That's a good word.
Hey, Marty.
I'm going to be in touch, so you're going to hear my name again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for checking in, Marty. It's good to hear from you. Let's go to Ben out of Owings Mills, new caller. Thank you for checking in, Ben. What's your comment for the Sisters of Ceasefire?
Hey, I want to commend you, Faraji, for having the morning. Also for them, I've never heard of this before, but I'll definitely change my Facebook. But I just want to say this, you know, I was a homicide detective in D.C. Through the whole decade of the 90s.
Wow.
You know, and the amount of carnage and the things I saw, and the level of humanity that was displayed during that time really had an effect on me, and it still does. And one thing I can say is the effect that this thing has, especially on the mothers, man. I mean, this is a whole lot I could say, but what I want to say is your sister was talking about the spiritual connection of this whole thing. And I realized at a time early in my career was that I really didn't have a lot of success at what I was doing to that extent until I realized that there's a spiritual aspect to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was guided by the Spirit, you know, the Spirit of God throughout my investigations, throughout my dealings with the families.
Yep.
And just, you know, and that's just how that was just the approach that I had that worked for me. But I just want to tell people that what these sisters is doing, I know that they're coming on and they're displaying a very positive light to this thing, but it's some heavy work these sisters are doing. And it's a lot of these sisters have a lot of pain they're carrying. They lost their sons or daughters or whatever at a young age, man. And I just applaud what they're doing, and you know, whatever I can do to help, even if it's just a profile picture, whatever you say, you know, I'll do it, because I just want people to understand how real this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And not only for the victims, but man, these guys is pulling these triggers, man. Now that I'm able to look at it from a different point, these young guys go through, you know, they've been hurt too, man.
Please tell it.
Victims, man. They you have victims killing victims. I mean, these young boys, a lot of them, man, and the young girls at school, you know, it's, Rod, this is deep, man.
Yeah, brother.
You know, hey, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it, man, but it's deep what these kids going through in these houses, man. And that's, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's planting a seed for a lot of this stuff that we're seeing. It's, a lot of the seeds is being planted right in, not on the street, but inside the house, man, you know.
Right.
I'll just leave it at that, but I'll support you, this, and I'll listen to the rest of the show, but I definitely applaud your sisters and what you're doing.
Amen. Thank you so much for checking in from Owings Mills, and I think, Ben, you hitting the nail right on the head. It is deep, and Eric and Shell, y'all know how deep it is, and just to bring some level of humanity. Nobody wants to do this work. And I think hearing it, I ain't finished
that's
yet.
That's a true thing.
Nobody wants to do this work, right? This is the work of transforming people's lives, right? But more importantly, this is the work of restoring a dead part of someone's soul.
Mm.
And the last thing you need are individuals who are doing that work who are dead as well.
Come on. That's,
you know what
that's
I mean?
You gotta be full of the spirit,
right?
In order to do
this work of respecting the dead.
Yes, that's right.
It's so transformative for us too,
right?
Because you don't come into this work thinking that.
Yeah, I had to apologize to the squad today. I was like, I'm sorry. I know this is what I was bringing y'all into. Because we woke, like everybody, we woke up this morning going, I'm anxious. I've been up since early this morning. Who else been up? Like, and so we have to now have conversation. We're growing in the work ourselves,
right?
Because we just thought, oh, we trying to stop violence. We trying to stop murder. I don't think we understood the dimensions.
Well, see, you know what? If you think about it, I mean, we in this space now. If you think about all the prophets and messengers of God, from Bible to Holy Quran.
Yeah.
None of the prophets or messengers were given the full assignment of the right up at the beginning.
Because they would have been like, never mind. I'm not doing that.
Moses would be like, Jesus said the same thing. Muhammad said the same thing. Like, what's next? What's next? And then they started to grow into who they were supposed to be, grow into that assignment. But it was never. And I think that's the part about it. Like, you know. And that's the thing that brought me into this work personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to go to school, be an actor, and then I'm going to be an activist. Who the hell wants to be an activist?
Well, here's the thing, right? In today's America, an activist is a popular social media thing.
But I'm saying, though, just like, you were called to this work, Shell. You were called. I feel like I was called to this work.
Right.
We don't go into this thing saying, hey, I mean, this is when I'm talking about 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
this
20 years ago. Nothing cute about it. Nobody said that was sexy.
My man Ben said he was a homicide detective in D.C. In the 90s.
That's serious business.
That's nothing you'd be like, hey, that was a police officer.
Sign up for that.
like, there's no amount of money that would have kept you for that long unless you had a passion
and a real
calling for that work.
And you do have to grow in your walk with God.
Absolutely.
Or else you can't, because that's the only thing that's going to sustain you in this work. Is your walk with God. That's what's going to sustain you.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Folks are checking in. Let's go to who we got here. Kevin from Baltimore, new caller. Kevin, thank you for checking in. What's your take, sir?
Oh, I just wanted to go back to a comment earlier. First and foremost, I appreciate you ladies. It does feel like a Sunday. I'm getting so many blessings out of the conversation that you all are having and this drive home from work. One thing that you brought to my attention is how I was taking away from my daughter. I found myself telling her to be quiet, sit down. You got too much energy. But in the beginning stages of her life, I wanted her to express herself. And then it was almost like as soon as she started to begin to express herself, I started to take that away from her, which caused her confusion on her end.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that y'all talked about that because it brought that back in my mind to see, okay, how can I still be more helpful for her to be able to express herself
yes. And
not take my negativity and push it on her because maybe I had a bad day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice. Beautiful.
Kevin, thank you so much for checking in.
And girls need their daddies. From two daddies, girls, we are here to tell you what you just said. She needs to hear from you as her dad.
That's a beautiful thing. I want to go to Z out of Northeast Baltimore. Z, what's your take? We got Z?
Brother, good evening, Brother Faraji.
Good evening. How are you, Z?
I'm great, and I love your guest that's on. Those sisters are right on point because you cannot solve a problem without having the spiritual part of it.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people try to solve the problems that we have today with intelligence. It takes more than intelligence. And all of the points that these sisters have made is very valid. We're nothing but the light.
Mm.
And some of us have more than others.
Mm.
But these youth, all of them are not bad. A lot of these youth, are, like you said, are dealing with situations in the home that are so adult that they don't know how to handle it. And they come out of the home with a whole lot of weights on them. And then they don't even know what to do with some situations. So they are like expelled from the home and they get out there with the gang members or whatever the deal is, you know. And we have to take it back to grabbing our young people. If we have to do it from house to house, grabbing our young people back in and teaching them how things are supposed to be and letting them be children. Just like you said, your mother, she kind of put your light down a little bit, dimmed your light because you were expressing yourself as a child. A lot of parents do that because they don't have the patience to parent.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. I've done it. And just like you said, your mom apologized to you, I had to apologize to my granddaughter because I saw her mother do it to her.
Mm.
Okay? And her mother's not living with her right now. Mm. I'm the mother. So I had to try to explain to her what was going on so that she wouldn't grow up to hate her mother because her mother is ill. Mm. And this is what's going on. We have a lot of young people who are ill, mentally ill. They have gone through the fire and didn't know how to handle that fire. So, of course, that fire, was put down onto their children.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I take it upon myself to bring young people that I know who are going through the fire. I don't judge them. I just bring them in and do what I have to do.
Thank you for that.
Just like a lighthouse. Remember they used to have lighthouse houses for the slaves that would hurry, mm-hmm. tell me who would bring the slaves through.
Come on, Z, talk.
That's mm-hmm. what I do. You know, yes. when I see that a young person is having a problem, I don't judge them. I just pull them on in, feed them first. you feed them good and they'll keep coming back.
That's right, they can get a good meal.
I just zero in where I need to zero in, and you know what, they're very receptive.
Absolutely.
God bless you, Miss Bridgeford.
You could just say Erica and
the
Michelle,
other young lady that
Michelle. Mm-hmm.
You know, even about bringing in that murderer, because it's nothing but a spirit of murder.
Mm.
It's a spirit of anger.
Ooh. And it's a spirit of pain, Z.
Yes, the pain. How much pain do you have to be in to take a life? That's the thing people don't think about.
Well, rage. That's the spirit of
rage.
Rage. So, you know, for that, when you go out to cleanse these areas, quote Psalm 136.
Come on, share that with us, Z.
Yes, Psalm 136 is, oh, give thanks to the Most High, for he is great and his mercy endures forever. And to say it in the Hebrew is more powerful. Oh, yada, yada, ki tobi, yada, ki akise of haya olam.
Oh, all right, then. Okay. I'm going to research that joint and learn how to say it in Hebrew.
Psalm 136.
I'm going to tell you that.
All right, Pastor Z. Pastor Z.
Vibrating in the original tongue. Hey, I hear you.
Thank you so much for checking in, Ryan, with us. Folks, we're going to continue the conversation on the other side. Continue to check in. We're talking to Michelle. We're talking to Sister Erica. We're talking about Ceasefire 365. This is Ceasefire Weekend. There's a spirit in the city of Baltimore. There's a spirit of anger and pain, but then there's a spirit of life.
Yes.
And that's the spirit that we try to tap into, because guess what, folks? There's still life. They ask the question, is there any good coming out of the darkness? Mm. Whether that darkness is in West Baltimore, East Baltimore, there is good coming out of the darkness. The people just have to open up.
Yes.
We're going to continue the conversation. Stay riding with me. It's a whole lot coming up on the next hour of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. Hit me up on my phone lines, 410-319-8888. We'll be right back.